Hallelujah. The tenacity of faith. I hope that you know that you're in a faith church here. And what does faith mean? That means you believe God. You believe His Word. What He says in His Word, you believe beyond what you can even see or feel. Right? Why? Because it's more real than what you can see or feel. Jesus said His Word's going to last forever. But your situation, what? Then when those two come together, think about it. If your situation doesn't last forever, and it comes in contact with His Word that lasts forever, what changes? Situation. The situation changes. Has to. Because His Word is forever and it's permanent and it's stronger than anything. And it will overcome that situation and create it into the Word itself. Amen. We're not making this stuff up. This is the Word of God. And when we apply it to our situation, the situation invariably changes every time. If it's not changing, then we're not applying it to the situation. And that's what I want to talk about today. Is you're going to have to learn how to be tenacious and you're applying that Word of God to your situation until it changes. And don't be moved if it doesn't look like it's changing. That's tenacity. So if you open with me to Jude, everybody say, I'm a Word person. And I'm a Holy Ghost person. Jude 1 verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, you know, we have all kinds of different faiths around. What faith are you? What faith are you? Well, I'm a Baptist. What faith are you? Well, I'm Pentecostal. What faith are you? Well, what are we going to contend for? The faith that was once delivered. Which means, how are we going to find that out, Patrick? We're going to go right to the Word and figure it out. What if man's doctrine says it isn't so? Then we got to toss that aside, even if it's our own doctrine. Get ready to toss something aside. Kick over those sacred cows. Tip them over at night. They won't even know you're coming. They'll just go, moo, and that's it. Let's pray before we get into this any farther. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you abide in this word and make it real to us tonight. I ask you to quicken every single person here with your presence and your glory. Let this word go deeply into them and produce like a garden sprouting up the kingdom of God. They will never be the same. I confess it, declare it, and believe it, Holy Ghost, and I worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend. So if he's writing to these people, and this wasn't very long after the faith was delivered, was it? So right away he said, I've got to write to you so that you would contend for the faith that was given. Well, why would he have to say that? What happens as soon as the word of God is sown in somebody's heart? The devil tries to come and steal it away. It'd be just like little moles or something in your garden. You plant something in there and the rabbits come along. They want to eat it up. Delicious little sprouts. Immediately he comes. He's not, and is he concerned about you? Not really. He's concerned about that word in you. Because that's where the power is. It's like an atomic bomb. And if you keep it in there, it will go off. And he's got to snuff it out. You ever see those cartoons where they're trying to run after that little thing? It's got the little lighter thing on the end and it's going up towards the... You got to get there quick. Put it out. Put it out before it goes off on the inside of somebody. Because when it does, you're going to have some supernatural dynamite power. And that's what the dunamis power of God is. It's like dynamite. It's where we get the word from. And that's where the power is. It's in the Holy Ghost and in the Word of God. And when you get a hold of both of them together, kaboom! Start blowing up your neighborhood. You know, in the spirit, of course. I'm going to clarify myself because I don't want people, you know. That's why I'm taking that chemistry course. Hallelujah. God's chemistry. Learning how to blow up things. Blow up what? Blowing up sickness and disease. Blowing up debt. Blowing up misery. Blowing up mountains that are in people's way. By faith. And the power of God. get some of that Word of God in you and the Holy Ghost in you, and you've lit it. Now the devil's in trouble unless he can snuff it out. If he doesn't snuff it out, he's in deep doo-doo. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. So this faith was delivered. It was delivered. And where I want to bring you today is there's been things delivered to you. When the Word of God comes, faith comes. How do I know that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And when you hear the Word, faith comes with it. God's faith. It's not even your faith. Faith just comes with that Word. The power is in the seed itself. And when it's in there, it's been delivered to you. And almost every single one of us, especially if you've been in this church for very long, you've had plenty of the Word put on the inside of you. And it's beginning to grow and germinate. You're going to have to earnestly contend for that faith that's been delivered to you. If you don't, it can get snuffed out. So earnestly contend. Brother, that sounds strong. It's stronger than you even think, even than those words. To contend means to fight, to wage a warfare. Over what? Over that seed. Don't let anything take it out. Not your relatives. Not your mother. not anybody. And it will come in various forms. We know that. Not an increase in pay. It could come in many different opportunities. The devil would use anything he can to snuff that thing out before it goes off. But if at the last minute you see him running in the other direction, you know why. Where'd everybody go? It's about to go off. Earnestly contend for that faith which was once delivered unto who? Under the saints. You think it's different today than it was back then? No, God's still putting things on the inside of you, and you have to contend for it if you want it. Especially the things God specifically said to you. Amen. Man, you'll have everybody come up prophesying over you that it's not going to come to pass. No. Thus says the Lord. I'd say, thus say, you're confused. Because God told me this, why are you telling me something else? And if the prophecy doesn't line up with this, then that's exactly what it is, just a bunch of air. Blow on, brother. What are you contending for? Do you want those things to come to pass? They will come to pass if you do what I tell you tonight. They're going to come to pass. God's blessing resting on you and overtaking you. Healing manifesting in every area of your life and body. Your debts diminishing and disappearing. And prosperity coming and the glory of God resting on you 24 hours a day. Shaking you and your neighbors, and they don't even know what's going on. That's fine. Shake them. But Satan comes immediately and you're going to have to contend against it. Recognize it. One of the best things you can do is know some of the tactics of the enemy that try to come and take the Word out. That's what he's after. He's after the Word. Get it out, get it out, get it out. Do whatever he can. They tried to do it to Jesus all the time. They sent the finest Sanhedrin and Pharisees over to his house to talk him out of this. What did he do? Sit down with them? Or he just kind of shooed him away with some radical statements? Usually that's what he did, was just kind of, hey, I'm beyond help for you guys. I'm never going that way. I'm going this way. Hallelujah. Even Peter tried to talk to him and said, hey, you don't want to go. You don't want to go to the cross. You're not going to die. And what did he say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Right to his face. And this was like his only best friend on the face of the earth. What was Jesus doing? Contending for the faith. God delivered faith into him to do this thing, and here's Peter trying to talk him out of it. Get thee behind thee, Satan. What are you going to say that to your mom? You might. Who are you going to say it to? You should be ready. Jesus said it to Peter. It's his best friend. He was contending for it, to be contentious. Are you telling us to be contentious? Yes, hallelujah, over the Word of God. Doesn't mean you have to be mean and ugly to people. You still walk in love, but you're not going to listen to it. Excuse me, I have something else to do. Satan. But you understand the attitude, right? Okay, Sounds like you have an attitude. Yes. Wait till you get to some of these other ones. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Brother, I never heard anything like this before in my life. Well, you should have. What Bible are you reading? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend, fight, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what do you think you have to fight for? It's that which you've professed. As soon as you confess the lordship of Jesus, that's when the fight begins. And nobody's telling them, oh, come up, receive the Lord as your Savior, sister. And join the fight. Is it going to be a fight? Oh, yeah. You never knew a fight before that. Before that, it was just cakewalk with a patty in there. And this is what people need to know. But as soon as the word's in there, he knows he's got a limited amount of time to get that out. If he can get that out before it goes off, like I said, then he's got something. He can trap you. But if you get beyond, and that's why I've said, and this is why we're doing things this way, to build faith into you. Because if you can get your healing by faith in God's word, he can never get it out of you ever again. Because you know how you got it the first time, and you know where to go to get it again. That's why when somebody does get saved and they make Jesus Lord, the best thing to do is show them in the word. This is why you're saved. Because you did this. It's not dependent on your feelings and the way it seems, because I don't feel saved today and I did yesterday, but now. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the word of God. So then you can go, it is written. As soon as you're there, does the devil bother you anymore with it? He can't. He can't with the salvation. If you know where you got it out of the word, you can say, hey, look at this, devil. He's lost that battle. Same thing when you learn how to get your healing out of the word of God. He loses that battle. Will he try? Absolutely. But he loses every time. It's a losing battle from that point on. That's why people, when they receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. Once you've spoken, you have the evidence. If you've never spoken, then you're still in wonderment, according to the word of God. But when you have chapter and verse, and you've spoken in the tongues, devil has no excuse anymore. He can't come up and talk you out of it. I have the scriptural experience that the word of God says, too bad, and then talk in tongues to him for a half an hour. He won't stay around. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. It's the life that's in your garden. It's the life in those seeds that grows up. Lay hold on it and fight over them. Make sure nobody or nothing can get it out. Amen. Even well-meaning people will try to get it out of you. We're going to see some of this. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy. We're in 1 Timothy. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. So here we're fighting, we're contending for the faith, we're fighting over that thing that we've professed before many witnesses, and now he says to hold fast. All of this has to do with the same thing, a struggle, a contention, a holding on to, a not letting go of. If you're holding on to something, what? Are you holding on to it loosely? Well, if somebody tries to take it out of your hand, what do? Hold on tighter. Don't just let go. Somebody says, hold on to this, and then try to take it out of your hand. Well, hold on to it. Use your other hand. Start poking the person in the eye. That'll distract them. People don't like that. Neither do dogs. Dogs biting you, you know. Get aggressive. Don't pull back and go, ow. Make him go, ow. It's the same thing with the devil. If he's attacking you, attack right back with the word of God. What do you think the sword of the Spirit's for? Cutting bread? Slicing salami? It's for stabbing somebody. And the enemy would be the devil. Trying to do what? Take your faith. Take the word out. And with the word goes the faith. You're contending for it. Use every available thing you've got and slay that dragon. Yeah. Hallelujah. Keep it right, sheath right behind you and pull it out at any given moment. Amen. Wield it around. Do that a lot. You'll end up with friends that are doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So the form of sound words. What are the most sound words you can possibly hold fast to? God's word. Not even your word. Make your words God's words. Pick his words to say about your situation and hold fast to them and don't let anybody take it out. Hold on to them. And it's a form. A form is what? You ever form something like a bundt cake? Right? It's like a mold. What happens when you take the cake out of the bundt cake pan? It looks just like it. So are you going to hold fast to that form? Does the bundt cake, when you take it out, if you didn't bake it, it'd probably moosh all over the place. Moosh. But if you did the right thing when you took it out, it looks just like it. It's holding fast to that form of what? The sound words. Hold fast to the form of the sound words. God's word. You get good at it, you make the bundt cake out of brick. And it'll never lose its shape. I don't care who comes up and chews on it. I like to use these simple illustrations for people so they can understand. Yeah, my grandmother's bundt cake was like a brick, brother. I know exactly what you mean. No, that was a fruit cake. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. Now, do you see a pattern here? I mean, it'd be all right if God just said it once and we'd make a doctrine out of it because he said it once. But if he keeps saying it over and over and over and over and over again, when are we going to get it in our thick skulls? Hold fast to the word. Hold fast to the word. Form your mouth around the word and don't say anything else. But I've been saying else, other things. I know, repent. It's easy to do. Repent. Father, I'm sorry I said that. Now I'm going to say this. And I'm going to hold fast to saying the same thing that God says. Yeah. Until when? Until it's over. Until it conforms to the word of God. If you're contending and you're in a wrestling match, don't give up until the guy has got both shoulders pinned to the ground. I don't care how many times he says uncle before they're down there. Nope. We're doing this the right way. I'm waiting for the ref to come in and count to three and lift my hand up in the air. 10:23. Let us, who's the Bible talking to? Yes, us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Is God faithful? Yes. Is he just a liar? No. He promised something, but he tells us to hold fast to the profession of it. What's profession? Saying it. So you're going to hold fast to what? The form of the words. Then you're going to hold fast to the professing of it, the saying of it, for he is faithful that promised it. This is a command. He's told you to do it. Just do it. How many times have I told you to do that? Just do it. Just say, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Just say, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. Why? Because you're commanded to in the word. And then you're told to hold fast to it. Until that word and your faith overcomes that situation. That's good news because all the promises of God are yes and amen. For you too, all of them. And if we just let the promises be taken away from us because we're not holding fast to it, then we don't have the manifestation. And what type of way are we going to hold fast to this? just lackadaisically? Are we going to consider this major warfare? Major warfare. You're going to hold on to this as if it were your life. And it is. Contend. I'm contentious over the word. In a good way. Because the Bible does talk about not to contend over certain things with your brethren. But when we're contending against the devil trying to take these things away, or our circumstances trying to make it look like this is not working out, then that's where we get contentious. And we turn up the heat and we pull out the sword and we start whacking it from every side until it just stops. Amen. Now, is doing this fun all the time? No, but after a while you get to where you like it a little bit. Always picking a fight. Always looking for the biggest one. Right? Joshua and Caleb, what'd they say? What'd he want? He want the biggest mountain with the biggest dudes on it. He didn't ask for a little, you know, patty cake pantry over there. I like that. What I really want to take when we get in there is that muffin shop. Take that baker over. Now, he went for the warriors. He went for the big guys up on the hill. He wanted them. And was God limiting him? Was God saying, no, you can't have them? No. Who was limiting them? Joshua and Caleb. Who was limiting them? All the babies that they were surrounded with. We can't go up. We can't do it. They're bigger than we are. Caleb, 80 years old, is like, we'll take them. I want that mountain. All revolves around what you say and what you believe. Glory be to God, and hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. What is wavering? They go one way or the other. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. I don't think I'm healed. I wish I was healed. God, heal me. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. What are you doing? You're going back and forth on it. What's it going to be? Make up your mind. I don't care who says you don't look healed. I am healed because the word says I'm healed. And when you get to that point, then nobody can beat you off of it. Because you're going to hold fast to it until it shows up. The Lord my God teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. It's in my mouth. I'm not backing off of it. Well, how come you always seem to know what to do at the right time, at the right place? Because I'm holding on to this. And the Lord my God teaches me to profit. He leads me in the way that I should go. And I give, and it's given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Do men give into my bosom? And I hold fast to that. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Are you going to have an opportunity to waver? What does the man who wavers receive?
Nothing.
And the Bible says specifically for me, to let not a man think. Don't even think you're going to receive something from God if you waver. Don't even think about it. So people, if you have not made up your mind that you're going to grab onto God's word and hold fast to his confession, hold fast to the form of those sound words, don't even think about it. You're wasting your time. The devil will sneak in there and he'll try to take it away. That's why you've got to be tenacious. Grab onto it and say, I am not letting go of this thing. Until it comes to pass. And I will never say anything else out my mouth. Well, that just sounds extreme. It is. Your Bible's extreme.
Yes, it is.
You don't like this go get a different translation then. Wee little watered down milky Bible. But when you signed up as Jesus is Lord, he's taken over everything, people. Everything. This kingdom is going to take over the other kingdom, and then shall the end come.
Yeah.
What army do you want to be in? Milquetoast army?
No.
Picking no fights because they're scared of everybody? I don't think so. Let's just pick some fights. Hallelujah. James 1 verse 7 says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Go to 2 Kings 4. Glory be to God forever. Second Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. She constrained who to eat bread? Elisha. And so it was, as oft as he passed by. Now, why do you think he kept passing by there? Absolutely. I'm not stupid. But if I just kind of veer my cycle of places I go over to this lady's house, she's going to give me a pie or something. Especially if I come by at 6 o'clock. The Bible's real, people. Hallelujah. Some of these things aren't just, ooh, the Lord is directing me over to Shunem's house. How's that pie? This is reality here. You think Elisha was a man? The Bible specifically says that Elijah was a man with like passions as you are, the same as you. And yet he prayed that it would not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3 years. Then he prayed again, and it rained again. Man, just like you, just like you. Probably looked just like you, you know, with the beard. And so it was, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to what? To eat bread. Verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. So what is she doing? She's thinking about this. She's thinking, here, I'm helping out this guy. So obviously, she's got a heart towards God. She wants to do the right thing. Immediately, she's seeing beyond what may be. And of course, you'd want to do that. You see some poor, beggarly soul walking down the street. You feel bad for him, but that's not the case here. Elisha was anything but poor and beggarly. But she wanted to be a blessing, so she started giving. Hallelujah. And the Bible says she was well off and her husband was well off. I mean, they had a wall around wherever they were living. Back then, walls meant you got money, big houses, servants. Glory be to God forever. Is it possible to have all of those things and still have faith? Oh, yeah. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. He's doing it continually now. Every once in a while he came by, but now he's there all the time. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. Is she thinking about this guy? Is she thinking about taking care of him? Is she thinking about herself? She's thinking about taking care of the prophet. She perceived he's a holy man of God, and she starts to say, hey, I'm going to take care of this guy. I'm going to make sure he's got what he needs, to the point where she was in designing the little house. She goes, let's put a bed in there, and a chair, and a table, and a lampstand. Why? Because she wanted him to stay away? If you don't want the critters coming by your house, stop putting bread outside. But she wanted him to come. She wanted him to come so much that she built him a room on the side of the house. Well, she, in the back of her head, she wants to charge him. No. She perceived he was a man of God. She saw something there. And it's the blessing. And she wanted that on her house. Hallelujah. Let's read on here. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee. She's asking her husband on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. She didn't have to do this. She wanted him to come there. And if he has the Spirit of God, what does she want? She wants the Spirit of God to come there. She's inviting the Spirit of God. And in that day, that was it. It was the prophet and the king and the priest, the high priest. That's it, where the Spirit of God was. And she wanted him to come to her house. What do you want to come to your house? Start building a room. Start taking some measures to get this to come there. Do you see? Did this just happen out of nowhere? She said it and kapoom, it happened. It stuck up on the wall. There was this room. It was like magic. No. She had to put thought into it. She put effort into it. She was building it specifically for one reason. So God would come. The anointing of God would come and stay and like to stay. And it shall be, she said, it shall be that when he comes to us, he shall turn in thither. Verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned in to the chamber and lay there. Isn't that amazing? What if she didn't do that? Lord, if you will, if you're willing, come and stay and sleep outside of my wall where I haven't prepared anything for you. You can have the presence of God if you want him, but you're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to build things into your life. Put them right on the side of your house. Hallelujah. Obviously, this is in the natural mostly, but you can speak about this in the spirit. How much of God you want? Build a big room. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her. Look, he's not even talking to her. He probably still laying on that bed. It was so nice and comfy, he didn't want to get up. She stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. Behold now. He could just look around him. He's laying in the bed. There's probably fresh bread next to him, some kind of delicious meal, because she's taking care of him. She probably had the candle lit when she saw him coming. She's taking care of him. And he's saying, behold, all of this care. The Holy Ghost is going to be like that here. Why? Because we're taking care to make him feel welcome. We're taking care to do what he says in his word. We're building this house the right way so that he can come in and stay and abide and stay. What did Moses do when the tabernacle in the wilderness was built exactly the way God said it? What did God do? He came in and went right into the tent. Big cloud went right inside. It had to be something to see. Say now to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? Look at what he's saying. Now, who says this? Would you like me to speak to the president for you? Or to, you know, the four-star general in the military? You want me to? So was Elisha just a bumpkin on a log? No. He was one of the chief people in this kingdom. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? Because you've been so good to me, what do you want me to do? Now, if she was doing this because she wanted something, she would have said something right here. But look what she says. She answered and said, I dwell among my own people. Basically saying, no, it's all right. I got everything I need. I'm okay. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. She didn't ask for anything. Nothing. Now what's happening? Situation's been turned. She was taking care to have the prophet of God and to have the anointing of God in her house. Now what's happened? Now the table has turned, and God is starting to look towards her and say, what does she need? And he just puts his finger on the one thing that she didn't have, because she had all the money she wanted. She had plenty of protection back in those days. That was a big deal. You start paying attention to God, and he's going to start paying attention to you. Pay attention to his word. Hold fast to that word. Do what he's telling you to do. And when you do that, guess what he's going to start doing? He's going to start looking at you and start taking care of your things that only he could do. Who could get her pregnant? Not even her husband. He was old. And she had no children. We don't know what the issue was, but obviously they didn't have any children. Verse 14, and he said, what then shall be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Even at that point, she's saying, That's too much. That's too good to be true. Really, I don't need anything. But he'd already spoken it forth. The word had gone forth. Now what's she going to do with it? Hallelujah. She holds fast to the word. And we'll just see how good she is at this. And she's good, by the way. Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at the same time that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Verse 18, and when the child was grown. Look, do you see that? And when the child was grown. So this woman is still, what do you think still going on here? She's still taking care of him. He still has a room on the side of their house. She's probably still got food in there anytime he comes by. She's probably got people watching out for him. Nothing changed. It's just now she's got a son. And he's growing up. Hallelujah. Verse 18, when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. So obviously something happened to his head. I don't know, he got whacked in the head by a reaper. While other people would like to say that it was sunstroke and he was out in the field too long. But it says towards noonday, so I don't know. Either way, we know something happened to his head. How do we know that? Because he said, my head, my head. And he said unto a lad, carry him to his mother. Because he's crying to me. My head, my head. I'm going to take him over there. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. Well, that's not good. Obviously, something serious happened to his head. He died. Well, that's over for this, right? End of story. Woman just, please. Prophet Schmoffit, I'm closing up that room. He's never getting another sandwich out of me. But that's not what she did. Hallelujah. And when he'd taken to him, to his mother, sat there and he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She knew that this is where the presence of God was. She knew what was going on. She took her problem to God and laid it on the bed. A few verses before that, it said the prophet was laying on that same bed, just laying there, going, what am I going to do for this woman? Same place. Go back to the place where you know that the need is met. And don't let go of the profession of your faith. Go right back there. So she shut the door upon him and went out, verse 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither a new moon nor a Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. You look this up, you know what it says? It says shalom. Did she say anything about the son to the man? He could probably care less because we know later on that he was a stern man and he wasn't really a believer or anything. This woman was the one doing all this stuff. She's the one who had the house built on the side. She's the one that's been delivering the goods all the time. So when he says, why do you have to go to him today? She could have said, the boy is dead. He's dead. Right? And whine about it and complain. What did she say? She said, shalom. She just said, see you later. All right? Now, obviously, we know the translation. That's why I put the emphasis on there. It means it's going to be well. That's what shalom means. It means peace. It means prosperity. You think the Jews got anything out of that? Every time they see somebody or say goodbye or hello, it's always peace and prosperity. Prosper. Be in health. Shalom. That's what she said. The husband's like, why do you have to go? She said, because of prosperity and peace. Hallelujah. And see you later. Hallelujah. I just wanted you to see that she didn't sit there and get in a discussion with her husband over it. She just went and did what she had to do. She was holding fast. And sometimes that'll happen in the marriage situation, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, brother, don't go there. Yeah. Sometimes you don't need to be discussing everything. You need to just shut up and hold fast to what God said. Because it's more important, even at that point, than just communicating the problem. So she said, it shall be well. Verse 24, and then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward and slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. What's she doing? She's strapping herself to something. She said, it shall be well. And then she told the servant, strap me on this thing and go. Even if I get uncomfortable, even if I don't slacken your pace, meaning he's probably go easy on her because she's the lady of the house. He could be in trouble if she falls off her ass. But isn't that the truth? If she gets hurt, he's in trouble, not only by her, but by Mr. Stern Man. He's going to be upset because now he's in charge. He's responsible for making sure she gets there and back all right. Drive and go forward. Drive and slack not the riding for me. Is she just going to mosey along? See the countryside, stop by Margaret's house and tell her what's up. Let's go talk to Margaret. She'll sympathize with me. She knows about the head. She said, slack not, go and run. Get me there. And don't even wait. If I look like I'm uncomfortable because I'm bumping up and down on my donkey, if I'm doing that, don't slacken unless I say, okay, I can't take it anymore. 25. And so she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee. I notice he didn't run. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is all well with thee? Is all well with thy husband? Is all well with the child? And she answered what? Wait a minute. Did she forget? Did she forget? My head, and her boy being dead? No. What is she holding on to? And some of us know this. She's holding on to the confession of what the man of God said before. And she's holding on to what she said, which all is well. She wasn't about to let go. She was going to hold on to that no matter what anybody said. Didn't talk about it with her husband. Just went. Didn't talk about it with Sister Mary along the side of the road. She just went and did what she was supposed to do. She was holding fast. She was contending for the faith. And was this a life and death situation? Yes. Or you could say it was a death and life situation. Because the death was already there. She could have just said, throw up her hands in the air. But she didn't. She said, all is well. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. What are you doing? Get out of here, crazy woman. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Well, she didn't tell him. He could tell something was up. She was under some serious pressure, but was she holding on? Yes. Was she holding on to his feet? Yes. Sometimes you're going to have to hold on to God's feet and stay right there. But are you going to say, God, help me. I'm so sick. I'm so tired. I'm so broke. God, you got to help me. My head. What are you going to say? It is well. I am healed. I am blessed, I'm prosperous, and that seems contradictory to your head, doesn't it? Too bad. What are you going to hold fast to? God already told you what to do. What are you going to waver now? Well, now I'm in the presence of the Lord, and he knows the way I feel, and now I can just unveil all my unbelief to him. Not if he already told you what to do. You're going to return his word to him. You're going to say, this is the way it is. It may not look this way, but this is the way it is. The Lord has hid it from me. Verse 28. And then she said, did I desire a son, my Lord? She's trying to bring him in on it. Try to narrow him in. I'm not going to say it, but you know, the son that I didn't want has to do with that. Did I desire a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And then he gets it. And then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. Now what's happening? Because she held fast to her confession, because she's doing the right thing, she's in the presence of God and her confession is still straight, God's now moving. And he told him to get up and move fast. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hands and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, listen, if thou meet any man, salute him not. What do you mean? That's just rude. What's going on here? He's contending for something. And there's times in your life that you don't need that extra stuff. You need to contend for the faith and get rid of all the other junk. It's fighting time. It's not tea time. You're in the ring and the bell's ringing. Ding. It's go time. You're getting pummeled by the devil with bills or something. You're getting pummeled by the devil with all kinds of sicknesses or whatever coming in. It is not time to have a tea party. It's time to fight and contend for the faith that you have. It's been delivered to you. Now you must contend for it. Go your way. And if you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. Sounds like he's being rude, but he's not. He's contending for the faith. Whose faith, by the way? The woman's faith. She's still holding on his feet. Quick, take this staff. Let's see if we can get this woman off my feet. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, verse 30, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. This is tough. This woman is tough. Now look at her faith. She's not going to let go of this thing. I will not leave thee. If you don't go, you're going to have a dead, rotten body holding onto your legs with the fingers locked. What kind of faith is that? That's contentious faith that will not take anything less than what she's asked for. Tenacity. She will not let go. As the Lord lives and as you live. I'm not letting go. Unless you come with me. So he's like, oh, brother. You got any of that bread over your house? And he arose and followed her, verse 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Gehazi was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon whose bed? His bed. They just walked all of this distance, people. I'm still serious here. They just walked all of this distance, and now there's a dead child on his bed. His bed. Where am I going to sleep tonight? I'm going to have to deal with this woman and this dead child before I'm going to get any rest here. Tenacity, people. Sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes some of the things in this book, the Bible, are not just going to fall on you like ripe cherries off of the tree. You're going to have to grab onto it, fight off the adversary, and hold on to it. And as the Lord lives and as you live, I will have this thing. And nobody's going to get in my way over it. And I'm not going to greet people along the street and talk about it. I don't take that to extreme. You can say hi to people. But if you're in the midst of a fight, forget about saying hi to people. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You can have it. God's not the one keeping it from you, but you're going to have to hold on to that thing. Verse 32 again. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned and awakened and walked in the house to and fro. And went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So evidently, a miracle took place. But let me ask you a question. Would any of this have taken place if it wasn't initiated by the woman? And then when trouble came to take away the thing that she had gotten as a blessing from the Lord, what if she gave up? Would any of this happen? So what was the miracle dependent on? The woman and her tenacious faith to not let it go. Won't let it be any other way than the way that it was said. And she said only the thing that was said and would not let anything else come into that path. The tenacity of faith. Glory be to God. The child opened his eyes, 36, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And so he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Go to Ephesians 6:13. Brother, I don't know if I could do this. Yes, you can, and you're commanded to. Hallelujah. She just happened to be good at it. Some people aren't. They waver in their faith and they wonder why God didn't do it.
God said he was going to bless me. God said I should lend unto many nations and borrow from none. Why? Why didn't it happen?
What are you saying? Are you holding on to it tenaciously? Because God said it, you think it's just going to come to pass in your life? There's millions of people it's not coming to pass in their life, and God said it about them too. They have to take his word. Put it in their heart and be tenacious about it and not let it go until it comes to pass. And not even looking at it. I don't care if the thing dies right before you. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, what are you going to do? You're going to stand, and having done all, you're going to continue to stand. And you got the armor of God that you can stand when? In the evil day. Was it the evil day for that woman? That was an evil day. That was a big time attack. And if she lost it then, she would have lost it. That would have been it. But she didn't lose it. She held fast, and she stood. And she stood. Having done all, she remained standing. How long, brother? How long do I have to stand? I've been standing for a whole day. Revelation chapter 2. This doesn't sound easy. I know, this is tough Christianity. What do you want? What do you want? You want the easy road? Jesus said the wide road. He said the wide road leads to destruction. Compressed and narrow is the way. Compressed. Fight the good fight of faith. These are things that if you want to walk in the glory of the Lord, it is available to you, but you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to contend for it. Revelations chapter 2, verse 25. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Is this underlined in your book? All right. Well, if it isn't, underline it. That which you have already, hold fast till when? Till he comes. If you can get this, people, it won't take long. If you can have the kind of mindset that I'm going to hold fast to this word, whether it looks like it or not, until Jesus returns. As the Lord lives and as you live, it's going to be this way. And I'm willing to stand here until the flesh rots off my bones, and I'm never going to say anything else. I'm going to have this. And when you have that tenacity until the Lord returns, he's going to have to return before I change my mind about this. Then the devil's going to leave you alone. But if he can see that there's some weakness, I'll hold on to this until the pizza man comes. I'll hold on to this until I get that movie delivery. I'll hold on to this until next Sunday. Then guess who's going to outwait you? The devil's got, he's got some time left. He's going to wait. He'll wait you out. But if you tell him up front, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to hold on to this word. This is the way it is in my life. This is the way it's going to be. And I'm going to hold fast to this without wavering until the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. Then you'll have it. It won't take long. And you won't care anyway because you've already made up your mind. That's the hard part. When you got this wonderment in the back of your head. Well, I might believe in healing, maybe. Let's see if it works. I might tithe once, see if that happens. No, you're going to make up your mind. You see it in the Word, I'm going to do it. And that's it. And that's the kind of man God likes. He saw that in Abraham. It's one of the reasons the Bible says he chose Abraham. Because he knew he would listen to him and do what he said and instruct his children in that way. So not only am I going to do it, but my kids are going to do it. As long as I have control over them, they will do it. Sorry. Glory be to God forever. Now, do you see the tenacity of faith? It takes, faith without tenacity is really not faith. You've got to make up your mind that that's the way it's going to be. When he said it in his word, that's the way it is, period. And I'm going to stand on it until the Lord Jesus comes. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you for the tenacity of your word and the faith in your word. I ask you right now to seal that on the inside of the people that are here. Let those words come back up in them. Let them come up and that they can see them clearly. Burn that down into the inside of them, that they would be tenacious in everything that they do with you. And we will defeat and rout the enemy in every area of life. Victorious church, overcoming all things. In Jesus' name.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.